My name is Kevin Chen, for those who don't know me. And I've been going to this church for a long time, but recently, you know, I have not been around that much for the last maybe 3 or 4 years because we've been serving in a mission organization and we've been having to travel a lot for different ministries and, you know, going from place to place to place, serving the ministry. But every time we're back here in Seattle, you know, we come back to our home church and, you know, we're always encouraged to see how much it's changing, how much it's growing. You know, some people might not say it's growing, but it is growing. And God, He is leading and He is directing us, you know, regardless in one way or another. And this is what we are always encouraged to see. If we could actually begin by reading the scripture. I don't think we have it on the PowerPoint, but if you can read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you can all turn there. And we're actually going to read the whole chapter. It's not that long, but 1 Samuel chapter 3. I will read one verse, and then if you guys can read the next verse, and I will read another, and then the next. And we'll alternate like this. If we can begin from verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was.
But the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am."
Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down.
The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me, but you answered, 'I did not call, my son.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. So Samuel lay down until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli.
And Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am."
He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Let's read the last verse together. "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed to himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Amen. And we'll talk about this passage in a little bit, but me and Samantha, my wife, we just came back from the East Coast where we were traveling, actually, for the last month and a half. We actually started in Houston. We flew to Houston. We rented a car there. And together with a team, we drove from Houston to Miami, Florida, from Miami, Florida to Toronto, and from Toronto back down through the Midwest back to Houston. And everywhere along the way, we stopped at cities where actually we have different staff who are also serving in our ministry. And at each of these cities, we would hold these different events where we would share about missions, where we would share about mission training and all these different things that are going on right now. And Within the last month and a half, I think, we have visited and met so many different churches on the East Coast, and not just Chinese churches or not just Korean churches, but we went to, black churches, we went to American churches, Latin American churches, went to Indian churches, Arab churches, like all different kinds of churches. And there were days where if there was no set schedule for us, we would just go out and we would just, call churches or knock on doors of churches. To share about missions, right? To share about what God is doing in the mission field today. And actually from that, what I realized, this is not something that, I just made up. But what I realized is that, number one, the churches of America are really, 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 suffering, in this time. There's like, I would say well over 95% of churches that we went to, when we met the pastor and talked to pastors, they would all say that, our church is not doing well. We are not doing well. We are not doing well. Actually, there wasn't a single church where the pastor said we are doing well, right? And I think maybe, they're trying to be humble or maybe, whatever they're saying, they don't want to sound like, oh, we're doing the right thing or we're doing, the good thing. But the reality is that almost every church we went to, it was very clear that it was not going well, right? Things were not going well for the church. And, there were even churches where as soon as we got there, what was very, very noticeable about the church is there is no one under the age of 30, right? Many churches were like this. It was only 30, not maybe not even 30, but 40 years old or older at that church. And there were no kids, there were no middle schoolers, high schoolers, no college students, no one under 30 years old, but so many churches, all it was the previous generation, the adult, the parent generation. And, going around to all these different churches, sorry, I keep on like, I have so much saliva right now because I have a huge sore on my tongue right now. But, all these churches that we went to, I started to really think like, God, why is it like this? Why is our entire nation today, why is the church, struggling so much? And our team, we were on the East Coast, and there was another team that was actually going down the West Coast. They started in Vancouver, and they went all the way down to, like Arkansas and to Tennessee, all these different places. And they also ended up in Houston, where we were. But both teams, what we were sharing was the exact same thing. Like, why are there so many churches? Number one, there's so many churches in America. Literally every block, there's a church. But how come every church, the only news that they have is that we are struggling, and we are not, it is not going well. And like so many pastors would say, there are no young people at our church. That's always one of the first questions that we ask the pastor is, are there young people at your church? Because our team, we are, we're young people. So naturally, it makes more sense that we talk to young people. It's harder actually for us to talk to, older people. Not because we cannot, but because, it's just a different level on which you're talking. And there's a lot of pastors in America, as soon as they see a young person, they will say, oh, did you go to seminary? Like, what is your training? Like, what do you know? What do you actually know about the Bible? These kind of things. And if you don't have, these credentials, then they won't even talk to you, But many of these pastors, actually, we would ask them the first question, do you have any young people in your church? And almost all of these churches, they said, very, very, very little, if any at all. Right? This is always the response. And what I realized, though, again, not making this up, but what I realized is the churches that today in America are doing well, are actually, growing, are actually actively doing ministry, and where there are many, many young people, these churches are the ones who actually, they have a vision for global missions. This is, again, not something that I'm just saying because I do mission work, but this is the reality of what we see. The churches today that are actually growing and that are actually doing well are the ones that have a heart to do global missions, And when I saw this, I began to think, why? Why is it like this? Why is it that, churches that serve the community or all these different things, how come they cannot grow? We went to Chicago, and in Chicago, we sent out two teams to go visit churches. And actually, I think the number two and number three highest crime rate neighborhoods in America. And we went out there to go, visit churches to share about global missions. And every single one of them that we went to, when we met the pastor, they would always say, we have no time, right, to do global missions. And they say, you know, we can't even think about doing global missions because every single week, you know, we're holding funerals for, you know, kids from our church who've been shot. You know, and they say, you know, how can you, like, think about global missions when this is what's happening in your neighborhood? You know, how can you think about going to Turkey, going to Iraq, going to these different countries when every week you have to bury another child from your church? You know, and this is what they would say, these kind of things. And then I began to, you know, we began to really think about this. And, you know, what we saw, though, is that, you know, everywhere in America, there is something else that is basically holding the church back from being able to do global missions. Right? And we don't have time today to talk about, you know, why we must do global missions and all these different things, but if you look in the Word of God, global missions is not just a ministry of the church, but it is foundational to what the church is doing. The church must have a vision for global missions, not just local missions, not just Bellevue, but global missions. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that, you know, we send every single month people out to the mission field. But at some point within, you know, the vision and the direction of our church, there must be something for global missions. You know, I know our church, we do have, you know, we do have this kind of a view. Now, where we do send and we do support missionaries, and even next or this summer, we're going to send a team to India, these kind of things. We do understand that this is very important. You know, but there are so many churches in America today who do not think about this at all, at all. And they say, you know, our ministry is right here. You know, our ministry is the crime in our neighborhood. Our ministry is this and this and this and this, which is not wrong. This is very important for them as a church in that community. But the way we see the big picture today is that God is raising up churches who see the nations. God is raising up churches who see the world and the gospel need, not just in America, but in the world, in all of the world. And these are the churches today that are thriving. You know, I can't even use the word thriving, but these are the churches that are surviving today, right, in this day and age.